Welcome all to another edition of CDH Conversations. The presentation will be made by Zodwa Malinga and myself. My name is Marilise van der Vesthuizen.
I am a director in the dispute resolution department and I also head up the firm's risk advisory practice.
Thank you, Marilise. My name is Zodwa Malinga. I am an associate in the dispute resolution department, specializing in construction and engineering disputes.
Thanks, Zodwa. Really, the podcast was an idea of Zodwa prior to the 16 days of violence against women. The CDH strategy is to focus on the 16 days of violence against women, but beyond that as well, so that we are kept busy the whole year with protection of the rights of women and children. Zodwa, how did you come up with this article, or what inspired you?
I was inspired by, firstly, the title, right, which is Lawyers Breaking Barriers. And that is not often a thing that happens within our industry because there are certain practices that are still very niche and that are still very much male dominated. So having practiced or having entered one of the practices that are very niche and male dominated, I felt that I had something to share and the sentiments that I wanted to echo about my experiences and how mentorship and sponsorship have assisted me along the way.
That's great, Zodwa, and I think it is particularly powerful because it comes from a much older generation and a much younger generation, which brought us together in writing the article and finding solutions on how we can break barriers. Zodwa, what is your principal methodology of creating a workspace which is inclusive of women and inclusive of people with disabilities so that we can rise up through the ranks and open a door for you?
My principal method really has been seeing people. I think people want to be seen, and it should not just be an act, but something that you're very conscious about. Hence my informal mentorship of my CA, for example, and other CAs, to always lend a hand, to always be helpful in a way that, you know, it doesn't only empower them to ask and be available to others, but that also allows them to get work done in a way that contributes to the organization. So that has been my contribution and my methodology in assisting women and in seeing women and trying to empower women and finding ways to include them in spaces that I've had the opportunity to get into.
I mean, that touches on a very fine point, which is the difference between mentorship and sponsorship, where mentorship is voluntary process where the mentee is required to contact the mentor in the event that they experience difficulties in their practice areas or they feel that they don't have enough work. Sponsorship, on the other hand, is where a sponsor takes on a sponsee and opens doors for them, introduces them to clients, sometimes outside of the sponsee's practice area, and then assisting them along to forge those outside relationships and sometimes relationships within the firm so that they can proactively get involved in those relationships. That is the sponsor's duty, not to look after the day-to-day work of an associate or a candidate attorney for that matter. There's also upward sponsorship and upward mentorship where you acquire a mentee or a sponsor that is younger than you who can teach me how their generation operates, what is important to them. So if a sponsee looks like they are completely exhausted in discussion with a mentor, we will arrange, as we do in CDH, to give them a mental health day, which doesn't count towards their annual leave. In fact, there are two mental health days that cuts across the firm to make sure that we catch people who are drowning in work, reallocate that work, and make sure that their voices are heard in how they execute a manageable amount of work in due course.
Marilise, my question to you would be, what have you done to ensure the inclusion of women in legal practice, having practiced for so long and having achieved so much in the industry?
There are a couple of small things and then there are a couple of larger efforts. In a previous iteration of my current job, I made sure that there were parking bays for pregnant women, so that they don't have to carry their heavy court cases 3 stairs down into away underground parking spot. It's something I'm encouraging at CDH as well, but time will tell. The other, I suppose, major change in the way that legal firms operate is that women who come from maternity leave have a lactation room inside the building so that they don't have to express in their cars or lock their offices if they are partners and try and express in that environment. It's just respect for a woman who's given birth and who chooses when they return to the office to make sure that they have a comfortable, respected environment. Some of the bigger things that I try and do is open glass doors for women and make sure that I don't have a place at a table for other younger women, but that we in fact extend that table to secure seats for associates or CAs or other junior directors to participate in firm activities. And it's often over lunchtime that ideas are born and to a certain extent I take responsibility for those ideas to come to fruition.
I think a big theme of our article has been not only mentorship, but ensuring that women are seen within the industry, that they're heard within the niche practices and that they have access to these practices. I think we've mentioned quite a lot about having a seat at the table, and that can only happen and it's only fostered by other women. Yes, men have played a role and they continue to play a role, but we have a significant role to play in ensuring that other women get into these spaces and that when we get into these spaces, we create room for other women to get into these spaces.
It's no good being a sponsor or a mentor if you let matters drag on with clever ideas being put to you, but you don't action them. So it was something you said now particularly resonates for me, and that is your position as a lawyer in CDH and then your position as a lawyer in a client-facing situation. Do you want to just talk about that for a bit?
Absolutely. So your position in a firm can be, you know, you can be held in high regard within the legal firm. You can be someone whose opinion is valued. You can be someone whose work is up to the standards. But it's quite important for the people that you work with, especially in niche practices, to put the face to the name, to put the face to the work. And that allows the client to not only see you in the spaces, but to see how the people that you work with treat you and in a way cultivate that sort of environment. So it's not easy, especially as a woman and a Black woman, to be within a construction space and, you know, to present ideas, because quite a lot of it revolves around, you know, having men around. But there are instances where you'd find that the people you work with present you to those people. They introduce you to clients. They give you the heavy work. They give you the challenging work. And that creates a certain comfort from the clients and the firm and the people that you work with. It creates a certain acceptance of the person that you are and of your contribution to each and every matter. So I think that's quite important.
But I think we are increasingly seeing from a client perspective that they wish Kliftekker Hofmeyr and all other law firms in town to be seen to be raising the next generation lawyer, so that when a lawyer retires or succumbs to illness, there are other people that have gained the confidence of the client and can take those matters forward. Gone are the days where men go to a pitch and expect to be awarded that pitch. It is more about a diverse group of people bringing their own unique skills, including youngsters, to contribute to that client over time and become entrenched in that client's business.
Absolutely, Marilise. Thanks for joining us for another episode of the CDH Conversation podcast.
The views and information expressed are those of the contributors at the time of publication and do not necessarily present those of the firm. All content is provided for general purposes only and does not constitute legal advice. We make no representations, warranties, or guarantees, whether expressed or implied, that the content on our podcast is accurate, complete, up-to-date, or reflects the current law. We accept no responsibility for any loss or damage, whether direct or consequential, arising from reliance on the information which is presented here.